This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
And a good Monday morning to you. Two more games left. That's it. Two more games left. And then we've got the complete playoff picture in the NFL. Now, you would think that some of the main storyline today after Sunday of Week 15 with the Steelers Cincinnati tonight to close out the games, that it would be, I don't know, Buffalo winning the AFC East for the first time since 1995. That's kind of a cool story, right? Or maybe the New England Patriots not making the playoffs for the first time since 2008, but doing so without sort of the Tom Brady got hurt element, right? This was a not a very good football team that struggled all year, you know, and now they're no longer going to be a fixture in your playoffs. That might be a cool storyline too. How about maybe the NFC East, right? We kind of gave praises to the Giants and Washington, thought they were playing good, turning the corner around it. Yeah, maybe not so much after Seattle beat Washington and Cleveland beat the Giants. But that's not it. You know what the main storyline is? The Jets! The Jets get a victory, and they're going to be sorry they did. Because as an organization, they may be out of the Trevor Lawrence race. Now, there's 2 weeks left, and maybe Jacksonville gets that, hey, we don't want to have one win on our schedule. Maybe they pull out a victory somewhere. But the Jets beat the Rams of all teams, 23-20. A Rams team that, I mean, you could make a case for every team in the NFC, right, that has been playing decent and playing well. Seattle, even New Orleans before the losing skid that occurred, Green Bay, of course. And there were the Rams, who were really strong. And the Jets go out to Los Angeles, their second straight West Coast road trip after getting bombed by the Seahawks a week before, and they did it. They did it. They pulled off a victory. Now they got the win under their belt. They're not going to go 0-16 like the Lions did, like the Browns did. They got the win. But the prototypical quarterback that's down in Clemson, that is waiting to go to the NFL and change a franchise forever, may not be in New York City because of this one win. Congratulations, Jets. Congratulations. We'll get to that. We'll get to some other games in Week 15. The likes, dislikes. Really fun game out in Arizona between the Cardinals and the Eagles, between two former Oklahoma quarterbacks. Drew Brees returned. Should he have returned? We also got some college stuff all coming up. It's Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Calls. We continue on a Monday, and happy holidays to all of you. We have reached the holiday week in the month of December. So yesterday, wow, some games that just kind of came about, but to be honest with you, the Jets score blew me away. It totally blew me away. And I don't know if I was rooting for them per se, because I mean, I'm nothing against the Rams, and now that they're chasing Seattle and all that stuff. But for some reason, I knew it was like subconsciously, I knew what the storyline in New York was going to be.
Yeah.
Like if the Jets had pulled off this victory. So like I'm watching on Red Zone and they keep showing the score, and it's like, all right, the Jets are still leading. The Jets are still leading. I don't know if they're going to pull this off. Like, in the end, are the Rams just going to come back and win this thing? And all I kept thinking about was, I know the New York media. They're going to destroy this team if they return from Los Angeles with a victory. They're going to kill them.
There's no ticker tape parade for winning.
No. And sure enough, the New York media did not let me down. New York Post, Trevor Welp. Wonderful.
Was it
the Grinch that stole Lawrence or something like that?
Was that the Daily News?
That was the Daily News. They did not let me down. They're ripping this team for winning. So I know that nobody likes going. Look, you don't want to go 0-16. That's you hear this a lot from players. They're like, look, there's a lot of teams that have gone 1-15. A lot of teams have gone 2-14. There's only two that have gone 0-16, and you just don't want to be part of that, right? So these guys aren't going to lay down because they couldn't care less about getting Trevor Lawrence. The management does. That's the and the fan base does. And that's the dilemma that you have as an NFL fan. It's hard because, look, in the NBA, you know, if you have to really stink, you mean really, really stink over 82 games to be a lottery pick and to get one of the top picks in the draft. The draft lottery is so weighted towards the terrible teams that you have to have a season that's completely in the toilet. In the NFL, yeah, you have to stink, but normally stinking in the NFL, getting the number one pick is like, yeah, 2-14, right? It's not 0-16. But because the prize on the other end for the Jets could be a franchise-changing quarterback, and that's the... I was talking to my son about this because he's rooting for he's rooting for Dallas to lose, right? He's a Cowboys fan. He's rooting for Dallas to lose because he's like, I just want a bigger draft pick. I go, why? Why? Seriously, you have Dak Prescott. What do you want? What are you looking for? Like, you want a tight end? A better tight end? There's plenty. You want a linebacker? There's plenty. You want a defensive end? There's plenty. You want an offensive lineman? There's plenty. Like, you're not finding the franchise-changing guy that you need by rooting for root for them to try to win the division and go to the playoffs. You know, Washington lost. The Giants will probably lose. The Eagles will probably lose. You're back in this thing with the victory over San Francisco. The teams that have to win the lose are the teams that need a quarterback. The quarterback is the most important job. So if Trevor Lawrence is the carrot on the end of the stick, that's who you're chasing. The Jets aren't trying to get the number one pick to get some offensive tackle. They're not trying to get the number one pick to get a defensive back. All right. They're not trying to get a running back. They're not trying to get a wide receiver. They need a franchise quarterback. And if you look at the division, you know why. Right, look at what Josh Allen is doing in Buffalo. That kid ain't going anywhere. Right? I mean, that team is rolling along now, and he knows he can play, and he's confident enough to play in the NFL. He could be there for years and years and years, leading the Bills to the double-digit wins and a threat to win the East. If Tua Tagovailoa is doing the exact same thing in Miami, Belichick isn't going to just sit around and accept mediocrity at that position. If you're the Jets, that's the guy you got to get. Right, that you want Trevor Lawrence under center for 15 years, and being a factor in a division that's already got two kids on the rise, and possibly depending on what the Patriots do, are going to get a quarterback eventually, and is going to turn that franchise back into being a pretty good force in the AFC East. So again, I know. Look, nobody wants to go 0-16, and the players certainly don't. But as a fan base, this has to be awful. Because now Jacksonville has the number one pick. And guess what? They need a quarterback. It'd be one thing if Jacksonville had a quarterback, but he was hurt. And, you know, like, oh, well, we have our guy. We have our franchise guy. We love him. But he got hurt, and so our season went down the toilet. Nope, that's not the case. They can't decide between three guys. Right? Gardner Minshew, Mike Glennon, Jake Luton. And nobody can do it. So Jackson will be more than happy to take Trevor Lawrence off the Jets' hands. And if he becomes a superstar in this league, if he becomes a quarterback for 15 years in Jacksonville, the Jets are good. This is the game. This is the game that you could just circle and remember. Oh, yeah, remember on December 20th back in 2020 when the Jets beat the Rams and it cost them an opportunity at Trevor Lawrence? Jet fans will be talking about this for years. For years. Again, good win for Adam Gase. Good win for the players. Don't want to go down in history as a team that is 0-16. There's only two. Let them have it. But man, oh man, as an organization, this has got to be awful. Awful. Awful feeling. But nevertheless, some good games yesterday, week 15. We're getting a little bit more glimpse of what the playoff picture is starting to look like. All right, the NFC East is coming back to normal again. Here comes Dallas on a two-game win streak. Washington and the Giants and Philadelphia all suffering losses. Washington is losing to Seattle, dropping them to 6-8. They now have a one-game lead over both Dallas and New York for the division lead with two games remaining. This is down to the wire of mediocrity in the NFC. Right now you've got a situation in New Orleans where the question is going to be about Drew Brees. Right? There's an old saying, everybody kind of uses it. It's one that gets tossed around a lot, but I think it's apropos here. When we talk about backups and we talk about starters, there's the old saying in the NFL, what percentage of your starter do you need before you get 100% of your backup, right? So if your quarterback is at 90% and you go, well, 90% of him is still better than 100% of the guy that's behind him, then you play him. Breeze looked terrible. Breeze did not look ready to come back in that game against Kansas City. And that's the marquee game on the calendar. I get why Breeze is he's a competitor, right? All athletes are. They want to be in these moments. They want to be in the, you know, on this kind of stage. They've been like that their whole life. This is why you have a head coach, because the head coach is supposed to calm that down. I don't care if you're LeBron James, Clayton Kershaw, I mean, anybody else in other sports, right? When the time comes to make a decision, should you be out there or not, you don't rely on the player. A player's never going to say he can't. They're always going to say, no, no, this is no big deal, right? Remember that movie We Are Marshall with Matthew McConaughey?
Yes.
Remember the one guy that did not go on the flight and he was the captain?
Yeah.
Remember he had the shoulder injury and he was just in constant denial about the shoulder injury and he's crying in the locker room because he knows he can't, but he has to. And Matthew McConaughey takes it off his hands. That's what Sean Payton should have done to Drew Brees. No, you're not going out there. You had 11 broken ribs. I'm sorry. This is the marquee game, and yeah, we lost to the Eagles. And yeah, maybe Taysom Hill isn't as good as we thought backing you up. But you're not going out there. We got a good record. We're going to the postseason. We may not be going to the postseason as a number one seed, but you know what? I'm not digging what I'm seeing. I can't believe that Breeze... I mean, maybe Peyton saw something in practice this week that made him think that this was that he was okay, but they couldn't throw the ball downfield. What do we say this about every time a team plays Kansas City? Kansas City is the kind of team like Mahomes can throw a pick. They could fumble. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They are seconds away from putting up three touchdowns. They always do it. You're going to go up against Kansas City. You need firepower. You don't need a broken ribbed quarterback trying to throw the ball down the field in some capacity. And again, no Michael Thomas. You just have Alvin Kamara. Right? I mean, Breeze could have gotten hurt again and derailed the rest of your season, which is playoff bound. I mean, he looked terrible. He started 0-for-6 with a pick. But this is what your head coach is supposed to do. Your head coach is supposed to make those determinations, right? What percentage of my starter is still better than 100% of my backup? And in this case, he's got two backups. He's got Taysom Hill. He could have gone to Jameis Winston for this one. But he went with Breeze, who's coming off broken ribs for crying and a collapsed lung, trying to chuck it around with Patrick Mahomes. It did not work. And you know what was funny about it is, despite the fact that Breeze didn't look all that good, he still found a way to throw three touchdowns and they only lost by three.
They could have won.
Could have won the game.
I can't remember the guy's name. Had he just recovered that fumble?
Yep. Could have won the game.
In the end zone, so they could have won.
And this is the Chiefs team we talked about when they played the Dolphins, right? They can make mistakes, and if they still find a way to beat you, they're so dangerous. Right? I mean, it's just, this is what Kansas City will do.
Yeah, they don't care if they make mistakes.
They don't care. It's like, no, well, fumble twice, threw a pick. Whatever. I don't care. Give me the ball back. You'll see. That's what they do. So that was one of the big storylines coming out. All right, we also will get to the college football, the selection committee. Oh, man, are they getting some arrows this weekend? Holy cow. You know what? We're back to hating them just as much as we hated the BCS and hated the poll system. We can't, as a college football fan base, we can't figure this out.
We need 64 teams. That's it. That's the only way that's going to satisfy everyone.
Oh, my God.
Throw everyone in there.
In the very beginning of this, it was like, oh, this is so refreshing. We've got a committee now, four teams.
But even
knew it was just a matter of time before America would just turn on this group of people.
But even when they came out with four, didn't we immediately go, ah, it should have been more?
Of course.
We got a playoff, but four?
Yeah.
We want more.
All right, we'll get that as well as we continue this morning. Coming up, we will talk about the College Football Playoff Committee and making their decision. What does it mean for Cincinnati when they go undefeated, you win your conference championship, but they say no anyway? I got a solution. I think a couple of people have thrown this out, and I think it would work. That's coming up next. Also, you can hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. A lot to unpack on a Monday as we continue. Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. We'll be right back.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, need to replace some parts and tools for your repair, maintenance, or restoration project? O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They know what it takes to get the job done right the first time. In fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Stop by and talk to one of the professional parts people today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so the College Football Playoff Committee made it easy for everybody. They went Alabama, they went Notre Dame, they went Clemson, they went Ohio State. Oh, not in that order. I should actually do it in the order that they said. So they got Alabama 1, Clemson 2, Ohio State 3, and then Notre Dame. Is that right? Yeah. Okay, because Alabama's facing Notre Dame in the Rose Bowl in Arlington, Texas. And then Clemson in Ohio.
Say that again?
Yeah, exactly. Rose Bowl in Arlington. Thank you, California. I don't like the Rose Bowl. Why can't I get the Rose Bowl? In there? Can we just do something COVID
can't gather.
Safe?
Can't gather.
Can't gather. Thanks. Well, nope. I guess we can gather in Arlington, Texas.
Can't have a football team on a sideline.
Happy to have the Rose Bowl at Jerry's World. That's for sure. And then Sugar Bowl in New Orleans will have Clemson against Ohio. You know what? Here's the thing. The committee was absolutely sure that their national semifinal game wasn't going to be Act 3 between Notre Dame and Clemson. They were absolutely.
I'm pretty certain they did that on purpose.
They did do that on purpose. There was no way. First of all, Ohio State ain't the third best team in the country. No. Let's be honest here. Okay, they are undefeated, but let's give me a break. I mean, what, 6 games on their slate? Come on. They're not the third best team. They did that because America doesn't want to see Notre Dame Clemson again. Now, if they get it for the national title, they get it for the national title. What are you going to do?
And that'll be fine.
That'll be fine. That's just the way the ball bounces.
Yeah,
right?
Then you got your rubber match, and we're
exactly.
Decide once and for all.
Are they going to shove that in America's face on January 1st again? Hey, everybody, watch this one more time. We promise this one will be different somehow. No, they're not doing that. So here come the arrows at the committee, because the committee basically told Cincinnati, look, Cincinnati wasn't going to the playoff. That wasn't the issue that people had with Cincinnati. Nope. It's that a 3-loss Florida team was ahead of them. Oklahoma at 8-2 that lost 2 games this season, one to Kansas State, and Cincinnati went unbeaten. And you know what their consolation prize is? They get to go to the Peach Bowl. Fine bowl, don't get me wrong, but it's the Peach Bowl. They're going to play Georgia. They're not going to get to go to the Orange Bowl or anything awesome like that. All right, the Peach Bowl is a fine bowl, and I'm a Southern football fan, so the Peach Bowl has a lot of importance into the legacy of Southern football. But Cincinnati is not going to one of the other major bowl games.
Not only that, but you're drawing a hometown opponent.
Right, exactly. And you're drawing the school that is nearest to the location. So it's technically a road game for the people that will be able to go to the Peach Bowl. This is the outcry. And look, we've reached a point where this is rightfully so. Cincinnati beat Army, who was ranked at the time. Cincinnati beat SMU, who was ranked at the time. They beat Tulsa, even though it was by a field goal. They're ranked at the time. You know what? You don't like the rankings, College Football Committee? They don't make them because you made them. Right, and then you go by them when the AP does it and the coaches poll does it. You don't believe in them? Well, then don't have them. But then don't tell the team that has 3 top 25 wins and went undefeated they didn't play anybody. Right, because there's some crappy teams in the SEC. Alabama didn't have any problems rolling through either. All right, but this is the problem. This is one of the problems. When you emphasize, and this is the biggest issue that I have with this, when you emphasize who's in, that's the marketing campaign of this, right? ESPN, who's in? Who's in? Who's in? You know what that leads to? Who's out? And that weighs heavy on kids that are picking their colleges. So here's the thing. There have been 7 years of this playoff and 4 teams each year. That's 28 teams that have been selected by the committee to participate in the national semifinals. You know how many different teams In 7 years and 28 selections, you know how many different teams there's been? 11. On the one hand, hey, great for teams that are continuing success. But also, it's bad for the sport because it doesn't lend itself to anybody outside a certain group of teams. If you are UCF, if you are Boise State back in the day, remember before the playoff, if you're Cincinnati, if you are anybody outside the Power Five, you're in the group of 5. You have no chance of ever, ever, ever getting into this thing. Ever. We have seen undefeated teams get completely annihilated by the committee. They don't care what Cincinnati did this year. They don't care. Now, you could make the argument Florida, a three-loss school, is better than Cincinnati. And Florida showed it Saturday night. For everything in that game that was a back-and-forth affair between Alabama and Florida, there's only been one team that has played Alabama with any sort of level of competition, and that's the Gators Saturday night. Florida had the ball down six, albeit seconds left, but it doesn't matter. The optics are still there. They had the ball with a chance to win the game, and nobody has even come close to that this season against the Crimson Tide. But is it about that, or is it going to be with these schools like Cincinnati, UCF before them, where you say, look, do your job and we'll see what happens. But every time one of these schools does their job, the committee goes, it's still not good enough. Now, there's been a solution to this. It's been kind of bantied about. It's been bantied about for a few years, but there's a solution to this, which is you take the AAC, you take these other Sun Belt, you take all these other conferences, and they just break away from this. And they have their own playoff. And they go, look, we're going to do it the way Division II does it, 1AA. We'll just do it that way. We'll have a round-robin 16-team playoff, 8-team playoff, whatever it is. We'll do it on our own way. You Power 5 teams, you want to divvy up the money the way you're going to do it anyway, go right ahead. You didn't really want to share with us to begin with, so here's the solution. We'll just do our own thing. Because it doesn't make any sense for Cincinnati to go to the Peach Bowl. It really doesn't, to be honest with you. They got nothing left to prove. What if they beat Georgia? So what? You need something else for these schools to go, look, we'll do our own thing. And you know what? We'll claim our own championship. Because kids want to play for something. How in the world, if you're an AAC school, do you recruit anybody? If you can sit in their living room and say, you will never play for a national championship. You can come here. We can kill it. We can win by 50 every game. We will never play for a national championship.
Yeah, we see it best, time and time again.
Best you're going to get here is a conference title that will probably mean something to us, but it won't mean anything nationally.
Maybe you'll get a Peach Bowl ring.
That's right. You know what? You're better off playing at Vanderbilt, because if Vanderbilt magically runs through the SEC schedule unbeaten, as impossible as that may sound, at least they got a chance.
That should be Vanderbilt's selling point.
It probably is. What school are you thinking about going? Well, you know, Cincinnati's got some winning ways. Can they win the national championship? No. Well, we can. If we magically go unbeaten, they will gladly send us to whatever bowl game playoff it's going to be. We're in the SEC, baby. Pick your doormat in the other conferences, and that's a selling point they all can have.
Because, you know, the other thing that could start to happen, which nobody wants, is for these small schools to ditch the non-power conferences for power conferences. You know, Cincinnati, a team like Cincinnati could say, hey, Big Ten, can we come play with you guys?
Sure. That's exactly right. Oh, my God, I've been waiting for UCF to do that for years.
Yeah.
I was sitting there going, UCF, the ACC is there waiting to bring you in. Or the SEC should expand to 16 teams waiting to bring you in. Jump aboard.
Remember when they were doing expansion a couple years ago? I thought for sure Boise State was going to jump in.
Oh,
me
too. Me too. I mean, why go to the Mountain West? They got no chance of getting in this dance. I mean, give me a break. Right? I mean, it makes perfect sense. If you're, especially Cincinnati, a school in a city... I mean, you got to be kidding. Of course, it's prime. That is prime recruiting for these Power 5 conferences for expansion.
Yeah.
You know, Memphis too, right? SMU's got Dallas.
I mean,
Houston.
Imagine you could tout, you know, a national championship chance and Skyline Chili.
Yeah, that's right. And Skyline Chili.
It's a winning combo right there.
Exactly. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We continue. Some more to unpack from college football and the NFL. Busy, busy weekend as we roll along. It's Wake Up Call.
listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, everyone's temperature varies throughout the day. It is important that you screen for fever in the morning and in the evening. Fever is a sign of COVID-19, so stay safe with the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Just a programming note, I'll be off Wednesday through the rest of the week for the holiday season.
Boo. You deserve it.
Well, you know, I'm hosting a few family members this year, so just a few. I don't want to raise the Tennessee authorities to my festivities, my gatherings, but we don't really do that here, so it's not like other places. But it should be good. It should be good holiday. Could be holiday
just,
fun.
Just wear a mask around your family. No big deal.
Yeah, no big deal.
And no singing. I've heard singing is bad.
Yeah, I can't sing, so we're not going to be gathering around the old guitar, singing some Christmas carols. We never
do that.
Not
going to gather around the piano?
No. I wish I had a piano. I always wanted to learn the piano, but I'm not that inclined. I'm not musically inclined at all. So, yeah, but I wouldn't mind learning. So the NFL yesterday, what a game of Tennessee. They crushed the Detroit Lions, 46-25.
I heard Derrick Henry is going to have charges brought up against him.
Oh, my God. What a stiff arm that was.
I'm not sure who he disrespected, but it doesn't really matter anymore because that guy's not in the NFL.
Is it against the law to while you're running a football to just grab a guy and just go, get away?
I think it is. I mean, he slammed his head to the turf. I think charges are pending.
Why? I mean, listen, we love Kansas City. I get you. But what if Tennessee just has this ball control, Derrick Henry, and then Ryan Tannehill can sling it around too? This is a threatening team. They do both things well. This is the best receiving core I've seen the Titans have in 10 years since I've been in Nashville.
Well, they're that weird team that's always hot and cold, right?
Right. They can do this and then lay an egg
a week later.
To
a team that they shouldn't be laying an egg to.
Right, exactly. Because they don't have a defensive coordinator. That's the thing, right? They don't have a defensive coordinator. And so there's been a sort of element to the fan base here in Nashville of saying, look, Mike Vrabel can't do everything, and you need an eye on the defense. So there is, should they get a defensive coordinator, but you can't bring in a guy mid-season. You just can't. So this is what you have. And if you're worried about the defense being unable to stop, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but if Patrick Mahomes in the postseason, right? I mean, you're going to need 5 touchdowns from like Ryan Tannehill, 3 like he had yesterday, 3 in the air, 2 on the ground, and then Derrick Henry running for 200 yards and a couple of TDs as well to keep pace with the Chiefs team that will light you on fire in 3 minutes. And if you don't have a solid defense, and the Titans don't really, that's going to be a problem. So, but there are times where they just put it all together and look great.
Yeah.
I mean, and that game was just an annihilation. I'm just cruising.
Overlooking their losses, who they've lost to this year. Some of them are head scratchers. I mean, they lost to the Steelers in a close one, right? But I mean, that was when the Steelers were really hot. Then they lost to the Bengals the following week.
Right. Exactly.
That makes no sense.
Yeah. And that game, I remember watching that whole game and they just looked terrible. It wasn't like, boy, Cincinnati's playing really above their heads. Titans were awful. Did not have any rhythm. I mean, they even admitted it afterwards. And you're right. They are capable of that. A team like Kansas City doesn't feel like it's capable of that.
No, I mean, that's the big difference that we keep saying this with Kansas City all along. I mean, yeah, sure. Kansas City is susceptible, but even when they're down or not playing well, we still have that feeling like, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
We're going to win.
They just need a couple of possessions, and then before you know it, they're finished. They're finishing you off.
I think you're right. I mean, if the Titans get it together like they did yesterday, where they seemingly could move the ball any which way they wanted to, that's the danger part.
That's right.
But it's going to be a high-scoring game.
So one of the other games yesterday was Tom Brady and the Buccaneers beating Atlanta 31-27. Now, if you didn't watch this game or follow this game, here's a little element for you. The Buccaneers didn't score at all in the first half. And somehow Atlanta just went, wow, we can't have that, can we?
No.
Come on into the end zone.
I mean,
come on
sure.
in. Enjoy scoring on us.
It wasn't 28-3.
No.
But I think it was 24-3.
Right.
It was pretty close.
Yeah. And Tom Brady and the Buccaneers scored 31 points in the second half. God, they scored more points than there were minutes on the clock. Ha! That was my little bit. It was actually 24-7 at one point after Hayden Hurst scored, and the Buccaneers kind of rolled on after that.
It's got to be so hard to be a Falcon fan.
It's got to be impossible. I feel so bad for them because I like them. I think Arthur Blank seems to be a very likable owner.
Oh, I think he's great.
Right? The Falcons, great city. Atlanta's a great city. But you're 100% right. It's going to be painful.
You know, it's on one hand, you know, if you have a team that keeps losing, like if you're a Jets fan or a Jaguars fan, you know, Jets ripped your heart out yesterday, but you know what? They ripped your heart out at the beginning of the season, and then you became okay with it. And you're fine with them losing. You're loving the fact that they're finding new ways to lose. And then they win, and that rips your heart out. But the Falcons, every single game that you're in, you don't have hope.
Nope.
Ever.
Yeah. What are they going to do, really? Like, what are they really going to do? Yep, 24-7. They lose 31-27.
I mean, you must really hate Tom Brady.
And here's the thing, kids. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers are 9-5.
Yep.
They're 9-5. So they have now got a winning record in Tampa. And Tom Brady's behind it. Maybe it wasn't 13-3. Maybe it wasn't the number one seed in the NFC. But you know what? It's baby steps. And they are now have a winning record and look playoff bound for the first time since 2007. Antonio Brown scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
God bless him.
It's all we need in the world.
What's he going to do now? I was waiting for the one moment that he was going to finally score, and he scored, and now we'll see.
Yep.
Right? Tomorrow at practice, he'll show up in some Lamborghini balloon. Or something, or maybe a helicopter.
Maybe on horseback.
Horseback is great.
Manatees?
Yeah, manatees.
Did he show up on a manatee? Yeah,
show up with that, or you know, riding a couple of stingrays to the practice facility.
Gonna wear, you know, maybe he just walks in with gator shoes. And I'm not talking about, you know, gator shoes. I'm talking about live gators.
Shoes. Like walking in a live gator. Exactly. So, and by the way, they play the Falcons again to close out the season at Raymond James Stadium, and they got the lousy Detroit Lions this coming weekend.
Yeah, you don't have to worry. I mean, if they're still needing a playoff clinching spot or, you know, a win, you're sure Bucks fans are like, we'll just wait.
Exactly.
You know, we could be losing until the fourth quarter, but it's the Falcons.
Meanwhile, Brady's former team, the Patriots, are done for the postseason run. Well, they never really—we never believed they had a chance, but they were technically in it.
And you
but
know
they're
what
not
that,
anymore.
You know what that does? That solves the question: Brady or Belichick?
So all of you New England reporters now can write the book. You can finish the narrative, I guess. Right?
It was Brady all along.
Close the Belichick chapter. He's finished. Miami wins again. I read somewhere where the Dolphins have beaten the Patriots 6 out of the last 8 years. I knew that was I didn't find that daunting at all. I was like, of course. I feel like the Dolphins always beat the Patriots in some form, even when they were Patriots were juggernaut teams. The Dolphins always squeeze out a victory. Now they win 22-12. Patriots are now 6-8, and that's it. But as we've said many, many times, a really, really, no matter how much you hate the Patriots, appreciate the run because it was really amazing. Teams don't do that very often. Teams don't get that kind of success. We saw it with our own eyes. We hated every minute of it. If you weren't rooting for the Patriots, you loved every minute of it. You did. And you loved all of the people being jealous because that's where all the hatred was coming from. Was this just the jealousy? Wish I could be successful for 20 years in the league without having a real, even when they didn't make the playoffs in 2008, when Brady got hurt in week 1, they went 10-6. Which is still double-digit wins. It's just the ball didn't bounce their way in terms of a postseason berth. But a year where they have just been decimated with injuries, decimated by COVID opouts, no real quarterback. And, you know, it's of course they were going to struggle. And look, you can say all you want about how Brady got the best end of the deal, but here's what Brady got to do. Brady got to pick where he was landing, and he landed on a team that had weapons. They just didn't have the right guy guiding them offensively. Like, Brady brought Gronkowski, and you can make a case about Antonio Brown, but that was just one touchdown. But he was going to a loaded team, right? He was going to a team that was already building something. It just needed the quarterback to put him over the hump. The Patriots, on the other hand, were decimated. I can't believe they won 6 games with how many people didn't play, how many people weren't playing for the team. Listen to me making excuses for the Patriots' record. What is wrong with me? Why am I sticking up for this franchise? He's buried me for 20 years. I've watched them. I've watched good Steeler teams go to Foxborough and got destroyed. So why am I sticking up for them now? The flip side of the AFC East has got to be Buffalo. Because, my God, that game against Denver on Saturday, Josh Allen is scary good.
Yeah.
And we keep saying it, but every time I say it, he goes and does something else.
He looks better.
He gets that one. He goes, oh, yeah, well, here's another thing I'm going to do. I'm going to raise it up one more bar. Look, 359, I think, and two touchdowns is a great day. But he also ran for two scores on top of the two touchdowns he already threw.
And see, the funny thing is, I mean, I don't even know if it's an actual award, but maybe it should be an improved player.
Yeah.
Most improved player. But it's weird. You can't really say that about him, but it just feels that way because we haven't really noticed.
If you talk to people in Buffalo, they always talk about, okay, Sean McDermott saw the rawness of Josh Allen, right? A guy that liked to use his feet, ran. He was the leading rusher on the team, what, a year ago, 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
I think his rookie year, he was like the leading rusher. And they said, look, we know you got an arm. We know you got the quarterback brain. You don't always have to run. Like, let's learn how to get rid of the ball. Let's learn how to throw it. Let's learn how to read. Oh, by the way, and while we're doing that for this upcoming season, we're going to trade for Stephon Diggs. So here you go. So here's a great wide receiver to go along with the new improvement. Every Bills guy we've talked to said that was the goal. That let's turn him into a passer in this league that's threatening when he does that. Because he wasn't before. When he got in this league, he wasn't really that. But he was a guy that he would run and he'd run away from you. And he'd pick up the yardage. He'd get that first down. He'd run to the sticks. But as far as staying in the pocket, finding a guy, throwing the ball, he wasn't good. He was good at throwing on the run. He had that little Patrick Mahomes angle to him. Now he throws in the pocket. He throws on the run. He runs the ball when he has to. I mean, he's got all these now elements. And now they're 11-3. And let's be honest, Hail Murray, they're 12-2.
Yeah. Hail okay. Murray doesn't happen every day.
If the Hail Murray doesn't happen, they've won 8 in a row and they're 12-2. I get it. It happened. I'm not supposed to do this, the hypothetical, but still. No, but
99 times out of 100, that ball hits the turf.
Right.
I mean, we saw two of them yesterday. Neither one of them stuck.
Yeah.
Both of them hit the turf.
Right.
And that's what 99 times out of 100 does. That one time you get beat. Yeah. They're 12-2.
Right.
They're
a 12-2 football team.
They're in the conversation right now of being the 2 seed or, you know, having the number one overall seed, stealing it from Kansas City.
And the two losses that they had, and again, I'm not making excuses for losses. They happened. Yeah, they happened to everybody. They came at a weird time where they were playing around with a COVID schedule, and they played Tennessee and Nashville, and then they had a home game against the Chiefs it was a night game. Right. You know, so look. And they got throttled by the Titans, but everybody has that game. But other than that, they know how to beat you. I mean, they know how to really roll it. And so, again, if you are the Jets, this goes back to something we said at the top of the hour. If you are the Jets and you just lost your chance at Trevor Lawrence, good luck in a division where Josh Allen's going to be around. Tua Tagovailoa might be the real deal, and the Patriots are not going to sit on their laurels. They're getting somebody.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to be under center for them sometime.
Belichick already has it penciled in for the 6th round somewhere.
Right.
They're finding their guy.
They're figuring it out. All right. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with 2 N's. We've got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next hour. Connor Ogaro is going to join us Saturday down south. We'll get a college football take. A little SEC flavor, but it'll also go around the country as the playoffs are now set and the bowls are starting to kick in. By the way, the bowls start, I think, tonight. I think there's a game tonight, North Texas and Appalachian State. So it was a quick turnaround for the COVID football as we continue along with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. Michael on Twitter, the Patriots only missed the playoffs twice in 20 years, 11-5 in 08. I thought it was 10-6, but it was 11-5. 9-7 in 02. In both years, they were tied for the division title, but lost the tiebreaker. Yeah, so even when they didn't win, like even when Matt Castle was leading them in 08 for the injured Tom Brady, or they kind of struggled at the Super Bowl after the first Super Bowl at 9-7, they still were decent. They didn't. They've 20 years of not falling apart. 20 years of not having the one season that got away from you. I mean, look, that I thought the 08 team was so impressive because you see it all the time. Like, with the, it, look, the Cowboys lose Dak Prescott, collapse.
Yeah.
Terrible, awful.
The only reason why they're still in the playoff hunt is because the entire division is terrible.
Yep, exactly. Last year, the Saints were kind of like them, right? Teddy Bridgewater was great, right, as a backup. Not a lot of teams do that. The Steelers went 8-8, just barely hung on to survive without Ben Roethlisberger, a team that was expected to do great things and, you know, mediocre, swimming in mud. 11-5 in 08 after Brady goes down in week one. Fantastic. Yeah, fantastic. It's still an amazing, amazing success story, even when they didn't go to the postseason in the 20 years. And forget when they went to the postseason. My God, it was just the success is off the charts. So you can enjoy this, and you can point your fingers finally at the Patriots for being, ah, ha, ha, you don't make the playoffs. But remember, they got 100 pointing back at you, and in the last 20 years, what they've probably done to your team a time or two. A whole generation, for crying out loud. I mean, again, think about being a 20-year-old, 21-year-old kid and realizing, oh, my God, we're not going to the playoffs? I barely remember when we didn't. Because a lot of us can certainly remember when our team didn't make the playoffs. All right, coming up, the good, the bad, and the dumb. And we'll also talk some college football with Connor O'Garza Saturday down south. All coming up in hour two on a Monday as we continue on Sports Map Radio.